Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
So we're going to talk to you today and continue on this great series we've been doing on leading, right? On leading. And we want to today talk about the shepherd's story. We want to talk about what it is to be a leader. Now, I call this the contrarian guide, the contrarian way to save the world. And that's the way the focus has been going, because when we talk about bringing Jesus to others, it looks differently. Last night, I had the joy of being at Jenny's house, and Rosa was there. It was a Fijian gathering. They have this tradition there called the 100 Nights, and Jenny's brother passed away 100 nights ago, and so after 100 nights of mourning, you have a get-together, and you celebrate the release of the mourning and the moving on in your life. Right, and it's a way of marking that time, protecting the time of mourning, but also putting a target for beginning to pick up your life again, which is the challenge, right? When someone passes away. So you had this gathering, and I have to laugh. I walk in, and there's a crazy bunch of people. Sorry, Jenny, you know that, she knows that. There's a crazy. Well, there was three flight attendants from Fijian Airways that had landed here, and someone picked them up and said, oh, I'll take you over to this thing. So there's these three flight attendants in there, and there's all these people, they're laughing, and one guy's got his guitar, and one girl's from Hawaii, and she did a Polynesian dance. It was just amazing. But I walk in, and I'm meeting these guys, and there's this one guy, we'll call him Bob, but I was like, Bob, this is Pastor Danny. Oh, forgive me, priest, for I have sinned. Bless me, he says. And I'm laughing, and I'm having a chuckle, and I said, well, I'm not Catholic, so you can go straight to God with that one, and you don't need me. And we had a good laugh about it. But I'm thinking about this idea of being a witness. When you're in a group of people that many of them maybe don't know the Lord, you know, we need to influence their behavior. We need to influence them towards Jesus. What I want to encourage you today is that you don't need to preach. Right? You don't need to preach. You just need to be a witness. And that's what we see in the Christian story. So let me just remind you of a couple things about leadership, okay? Here's a little true thing I'd say, okay? You are called by Jesus to go and make disciples. Truth. Second truth. You do this by influencing. You can go to the next slide. You can just walk down this with me. You do this by influencing the behavior and attitudes of others. Now, here's the third truth. Anytime you influence the behavior and attitudes of others, you're exercising leadership. That's a definition that Ken Blanchard uses in Lead Like Jesus. And Ken Blanchard's one of the top writers and teachers in leadership. And so if Ken Blanchard says that's a definition of leadership, then that's leadership. I agree with him. And the other top expert in the world is John Maxwell. And he says leadership is influence, nothing less, nothing more. So on both accounts, I think I can be comfortable to see that's a truth. Anytime you influence the behavior and attitudes of others, you're exercising leadership. So the fourth one is the resulting truth. Therefore, you are called to lead. You are called to lead. Now, leading scares many people. Complex organizational leading, and then there's relational leading. Anyone who is a parent is automatically a leader. You don't get a choice, but it doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be. In fact, it all begins with your experience with God. Your worship of God and His work in your life is the foundation of your leadership. It's the foundation of how you influence other people. John Stott wrote this or said this, if we truly worship God, acknowledging and adoring his infinite worth, we find ourselves impelled to make him known to others in order that they may worship him too. Thus, worship leads to witness, and witness in turn to worship in a perpetual circle. It's what we've always said in our maxim. We bring Jesus to others so that they can come fully alive. I could start it with, we've come fully alive, so we bring Jesus to others so that they can come fully alive. That's the circle. We worship God, and out of our worship, we begin to lead and influence other people. I can't necessarily make it easier for you, but I can certainly make it simpler. One of the ways I want to help you is by teaching you this contrarian way of saving the world. It's not even my idea. It's the way of God. It's the way God lays it out for us. The Christmas story being unfolded in this season has all of the elements of godly leadership written through it. We looked already at the story of Mary and Joseph, and we saw that the biggest names need to be servant leaders. Mary and Joseph, the hallowed parents of Jesus, Mary who captures the heart of the Catholic Church, they adore her. She's a servant. She first of all said, I am your servant, Lord. May it be to me. So obedient to his will, we need to be obedient to his will rather than driven by our own personal agendas. In the story of the Magi last week, we recognize that people we seek to influence are on a journey with God, and God is the star leading them on. We are but the guides pointing them toward the next step. When they bow the knee and worship Jesus, we don't take the credit. We praise God beside them, alongside of them. We are just people who are doing our part. And today I want to encourage you that the first leaders in the story were simple shepherds who couldn't preach. That was not their expertise whatsoever. But they didn't need to. They were witnesses. And when you bring Jesus to others, you do so as a witness, not as a preacher. So let's read this shepherd story and see if we can't learn just a little bit about how we can influence or lead other people. Luke chapter 2. Read these first few verses. It says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So let me start there. First thing we need to note is that the substance of the story that captures our heart, the story that we wish to pass along, the story that gets us motivated moving along is a divine story. We're not sharing just some inspired literature. Like, I love J.R.R. Tolkien. I love C.S. Lewis. I think they write great stories. They're inspired. Shakespeare was very inspired, and you could pick your favorite author and say, wow, so inspirational. And you might even get excited and want to tell other people about the story you read. But this is at a different level. This is straight from God, a story that comes right from him to us. It's a divine encounter that we have. I think this is, it says that the shepherds were afraid. And I think fear is one of the big issues that we always have to address. But what overcomes fear? What helps us to get past those fears? It's the confidence that what we have is straight from God. So yes, we're afraid, but remember, what we are trying to encourage other people with is not our opinion. It's not a good idea. It's the truth. It's the way God's designed us. It's the only way to the fullness of life. And so there's a passion in our hearts that breathes it in and wants to influence others because we're so excited about it. It's that experience that starts the whole process. Then it goes on, it says, and this is part of the experience too. It's an important part of it. Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So the next step is follow-up. They not only heard a divine message, but they believed it. And then they verified it. Then they went out and they checked it out. Let's go find it. And they saw it. And what changed them was that it was exactly what the angels had said. And that's the process of the encounter that you and I have with Christ, is that we hear a message, we believe a message, and then we step out in faith and we say, "I'm going to trust you, Jesus." And when we do, we find that fullness of joy, we find that being liberty, that being set free, and we go, "Oh, it's just like God said." And that's that foundational experience with God that sets the tone for everything. We always say that a disciple is one who listens to and obeys God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so those two key words, actions, are the foundation. We listen to, what's the message? And then we go and we obey it. And that's the second part. And the power of the Holy Spirit guides us through that. So we listen to and obey God. That's the foundation of our witness. This obedience leads us to the personal experience. We tell what we have heard. We tell how we obeyed. And then we tell people the result of our obedience. Then it goes on, verse 17. And it says, get back to where I was. And it says, when the angel, let's go to Bethlehem. So they hurried off. They found baby Jesus. Oh, yeah, verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning that what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Why? For all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The experience. They go and they share and praise God for this valid experience that they had. Note that in this story, there's no preaching. I want to encourage you that in our leadership, we're not asking people to become preachers. There's nothing wrong with preaching. I'm a preacher. I do a lot of preaching. It's empowered speech from God to proclaim and articulate the word of God to people. But we need to distinguish the role of preaching from that of witnessing. How about we compare the two? How will we compare preaching and witnessing? Just so you can get comfortable with what it is you're doing and what it is you're not doing. Okay, let's look at this table I put up here. When you're preaching, the starting point is the Word of God. Okay, that this is the Word of God right here. But there's also, this is just pages on a book, but the Holy Spirit works in this. And as you read it, there's a word that gets into your heart. And preachers study and read the text until God gives them a word. And then when they preach the word that's substantiated by this text. But it's the word from the Lord that matters, right? It's the word from the Lord that matters. Even in a prophetic way, people can be prophetic in their sharing, and that can be a word from the Lord that they're sharing. It always needs to be grounded in this, but it's a word. That's where preaching comes from. And of course, that's wonderful and nothing wrong with it, but that's not witnessing. Witnessing starts with an experience with God. Witnessing starts with the experience with God. It's possible to be preaching and not have an experience with God. I always remember the story of the famous orator who was asked to read Psalm 23, and he said, "No, why don't we have this lady?" And they asked this sweet saint of a lady, "Why don't you read it?" And she read it, And he was blown away. And he said, I can read with the voice of Shakespeare. But she reads as one who knows the shepherd. There's a difference, right? Anyone can sort of spout a truth. Anyone can make an argument. But to be a witness, you have to have an experience. You literally need to say, Lord, what are you doing in my life? Okay, preaching, secondly, is designed for response. When I preach even a sermon today, in my heart, I'm always thinking about the conclusion, and I'm thinking about where do I feel like the Lord is calling a response, right? What is that response? What is it the Lord's challenging people for? And even in a prophetic word, when you go to somebody, you're oftentimes got a prophetic word for somebody. It might have been that God wants to challenge you with something. He wants you to trust him, or he wants you to do this. It's calling for a response. But witnessing is actually designed for reflection. If you noticed in the text, the response of the people was that they were amazed. The response of Mary was that she pondered things. When you're witnessing to people, you're not calling out a response. You're just laying before people the story and your encounter and what you've learned about God, and you're letting it sit there and give them space to ponder and to reflect. Preaching requires careful attention to getting it right. If you're going to have the Word of God and you're going to say this is God's Word, you better get it right. You know, you don't carefully say to someone, God told me to say this. You be careful if you say that word to somebody. God told me to say this. Even Margus, she's feeling led of the Spirit here today. I feel like this is something that's here. She doesn't say, you know, thus saith the Lord God to you today. If you're going to say it like that, then you better be careful, because we're rooting out the Scripture and we're declaring the Word of God. So we have to be very careful when we're preaching to get it right. And that's what creates the fear in witnessing for people, because they feel like they have to convince somebody the truth of God's Word, and they get afraid because, what if I get it wrong or I missay something? Because you're preaching. Don't preach. When you're witnessing, it's your story, so it can't be wrong. It literally cannot be wrong. It's your story. And so you're just sharing your experience and your story. Yes, people can dismiss you. Yes, people can say, well, that was nice for you, but it doesn't matter. That's not the point of witnessing. That might be the point of preaching, but it's not the point of witnessing. And then preaching, the authority is in the Word. The authority is, you know, I step back and I say, listen, if I tell you something, I'm saying to you, it's not me you're reckoning with, it's God, because that's what His Word is. And I can challenge you on that because it's God's Word. But if I'm giving an experience, the authority is in the experience. When I say to you, I was healed, this happened to me numerous times. God directly healed me. That is, I can speak with authority because I know the healing that happened. And I can say that God one time put me under. I mean, I was at the front of the church. Next thing you know, I was under the pew, and I'd been an hour later, and I was just praising God. And you say, what happened? God just, you know, we used to call it being slain in the Spirit. Now they call it resting in the Spirit or something, you know. But I literally fell over and was in the power of the Spirit for how long? I was just a young teenager. The authority is in my experience. That happened, and it was real. That's the authority, right? So just take note of the difference, because when we're talking about being like the shepherds, we're talking about witnessing to the experience and sharing it for people for them to reflect on, but that is still influencing people. This world, there's nothing wrong with preaching, okay? There's nothing wrong with preaching. We love preaching, but in fact, there are times when you need to preach, and we'll get to that in just a sec, but we find ourselves quite often resorting to the preaching side of things. Okay? We resort to it. We default to it. We start preaching to people instead of witnessing. And why do we do that? So let me give you something to think. Wrap your heads around this. Maybe this might, some of these might be true of you. I think sometimes it's just what was handed down to us. It's just what we grew up with. That's how I grew up. I grew up with everything about evangelism was learning how to articulate the gospel message, how to be able to tell somebody they're a sinner, and how to lead them to faith in Christ. And we used different illustrations and the Romans Road and all these scriptures, but we were trying to preach to somebody that why they needed to get saved. And this made much more sense in a world where truth was universal. You could have an argument about truth because you both agreed that there was a truth. We could disagree on what it was, but we all knew there was a truth. That culture doesn't exist anymore. So the concept of arguing over truth becomes quite problematic in our day. And also, people in those days understood they were sinners. There was enough of the gospel message in our culture that people already knew they were sinners. So you could have an altar call and say, you need to get right with God. Take this walk and come and say the sinner's prayer with me. And people didn't bat an eye at the idea of a sinner's prayer. The word sinner's prayer didn't matter. Nobody got offended by that. But that doesn't make sense in our culture today. People go, I don't understand. What do you mean by sinner's prayer? We often call it the prayer of salvation. And we maybe say it a little differently now. And that's not compromising the gospel. That's just recognizing the difference of our culture and how we need to approach things. So preaching, we do it kind of easily because it's just what we learned. It's what we've inherited in the generations. And so our task is wrestling through how we're going to do, how we're going to bear witness, and how we can be more of a witness and less of a preacher. And let's not despise preaching because it's still valid. Okay? It's just that it shouldn't be the thing we lead with. We shouldn't jump to preaching as our first default step. We start with a witness. And here's another reason why we might default to preaching, and this is a tough one. We like control. Bottom line is we like control. We don't trust God. You say, what? How can I say that? Witnessing and letting it sit with someone runs counter to the goal that's in our mind. Because oftentimes we want this person to come to faith in Christ. In our heart, we have in our mind them saying the sinner's prayer. We have in mind them coming to Jesus and giving their life to Christ. And so that's our goal. And so when we witness, we're letting something sit with them. When inside of us, we want to take charge and we want to make it happen. So instead of trusting God with the outcome, we press in and we start preaching. We try to accomplish in our own skills what we need to let God and the Spirit do. So there is an element of control that's there. Preaching gives us more control. When we preach and they don't accept Jesus, then we can feel good about writing them off because they didn't listen. Or we can say, well, you know what? At least they won't be able to blame me when we get to the pearly gates and go, why don't you tell me, you know, or something, you know, like we have this sort of release of our conscience because we did it. We preached and, you know, we say it, blurt it out, and then run away. It's why I think we have to be careful. Why do we default to preaching? And here's the other one, and this is, again, one I think you might find strange. It's easier. It's easier. It's much easier to preach. Now, this is a paradox because witnessing is so much simpler, but at the same time, it's so much harder. So preaching is easier, but witnessing is simpler. Preaching is complex. Witnessing is simple. Why? The foundation of a personal experience with God. That's what we said. Witnessing is about that foundation. What's important in that experience? That you listen to and obey God in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're not listening to and obeying God in the power of the Spirit, you have nothing from which to witness. And many of us find in our Christian lives, we stop listening. We still say, I'm a Christian, but we haven't been listening and we haven't been obeying. And we're in this kind of mode where we're just going through life. And then when you get a chance to witness, you're digging around and you're realizing I'm not living obedient to God in that truest sense. And it's hard to witness of the vibrancy that's there. It's difficult because the difficulty is it means that you're actually walking the life with Christ. You're getting up every day and you're praying and acknowledging God and you're picking up your cross and following Him. See, picking up your cross is hard, but it's out of that experience that you have something to witness for. So preaching, though, you don't have to have an experience. You just have to memorize the Romans Road, or you just have to memorize the truth. You just have to memorize a few gimmicks for how you can witness. And you do those things, and then you can get away with it, and you feel good. You know what? I'm bearing witness all the time, telling people about Jesus, why they need Jesus. But you're not witnessing. You're preaching. And you got to ask yourself, Am I not preaching? Am I preaching and not witnessing because I haven't been obeying God? That's a tough thing, right? And I think that's something we should take a look at. And I don't think you can rest on just the one experience of coming to faith in Christ. I remember Brother Lapka, boy, dear brother in Golden, who every time got up. In 1952, the Lord got a hold of my heart. I heard that story so many times. I'm like, do you have no other stories? Is that all you've got? Is the story of a 1952? What is it that you've got? Do you have only one story? Is there a story of something God's done in your life this week? Is there something recent that's happened? And this is, I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to make another little promo here for that ruthless wellness, because the idea of a ruthless wellness is to root out some of those questions and ask yourself, where are those experiences with God? And beginning to understand why maybe you're not seeing them. Maybe examining your heart, right? This is not easy stuff to do, but a deep introspection to say, where is the experience of Christ in my life at right now? That's what I need to build. And that's what we're trying to do. With the rhythms of life, we're trying to help you so that you can have an ongoing, fresh relationship with God where you can witness of what God's doing now in your life, what God's been showing you this week, how God's been moving in your life. That's what we want to do. I just want to encourage you to always yield your part to the Holy Spirit. Whether it's preaching or witnessing, we always yield to the Holy Spirit. In fact, and even to the preacher, we often challenge in our teaching to myself and to other preachers, remember, don't try to convince them just with your human speech of what God wants them to do. The Holy Spirit does the work of conviction. The Holy Spirit is the one who's doing the work, right? So if a preacher starts getting tense and intense and he's getting like this, you know, sometimes he's struggling because he really wants you to get this. He's passionate. But we always have to remind ourselves as preachers to relax a little bit. The Holy Spirit's going to do the work. We bring the truth and we let the Holy Spirit do the work. And the same goes with witnessing. There is an element to which when you come and you share the story, you have to be willing to just say, Lord, let me leave that with you. In fact, you want to be always sensitive to the person of the Holy Spirit as to when you should step in and when you should not. In fact, one of the greatest things you can do is ask for permission. If you sense the Holy Spirit in a moment, and somebody maybe needs to hear a story that you can bear witness to, you might say, would you mind if I told you a story? And they nod and look at you and say, sure. Or you might even say, something God did in my life this week, would you mind if I just shared that with you? Yeah, no, they've given you permission. Now you have that space and you're letting the Holy Spirit do the work in their lives. We're always, always, always yielding to the Holy Spirit. Think about this, the pondering that began in Mary's heart on this evening. Think about the townspeople that heard the shepherd's story. Now let's track those townspeople. Through the story of years later, Jesus starts preaching. And those that were still alive and those that were walking around saying, I remember that night, the night in Bethlehem when there was a star and some wise men came and the shepherds, and it led to the killing of all these children, and it was a horrific experience. And everybody remembers that time. There was something crazy going on, and then Jesus shows up, and he starts teaching. And then near the end of his ministry, he comes to Bethlehem, and he's near now from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, and he gets on a donkey, and the people from Bethlehem, perhaps many of the people who the angel of the shepherds told the stories to, are there now laying down their palm branches. You don't know where this story's going. You have to trust God that he is building a story, that he is laying out a witness, and you're just a part of it, right? You're just a part of it. You're just saying, let me share my faith with you, or let me share my story, or how God has been real to me. And someone will get to preach. Someone will get to say, would you like to ask Jesus in your life? Someone will, and maybe you'll get to be that person. But it takes an awful lot of the witness beforehand, till they come to that point where they lay down those palm branches and say, I want to acknowledge Jesus, you are the King of Kings, and say, Hosanna, Hosanna. Or Peter, who preached to the 3,000 people who came to faith that day. Those 3,000 people weren't brand new and never heard of Jesus. They all knew Jesus. They'd all heard the stories. They'd been following him. It was just the sealed the deal. It was the final nail that Peter preached that sealed the deal and said, yes, I need to follow Jesus. It's a journey, and you're a witness to that. So trust the Holy Spirit to guide you in this. So as I conclude, and the worship team is going to come back, and we're going to sing and challenge ourselves with this great song again, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And we're going to go. We're going to bring the joy to people. But do you want to be like the shepherds? You want to have a fantastic witness to Jesus? Then you have to ask yourself, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What's the next step? What's the next step in you becoming the shepherd? What's the next step that's going to bring you that witness that you want to be? Is it the fear that holds you back? Is it giving over the fear? Is it that, Lord, I just want to seek you and I want to know you more than anything? What is the next step that the Holy Spirit draws into your heart? Because right now, even as we sing, I want you to think about that and think, Lord, this week, to be a better witness, this is what I'm going to work on. This is what I feel you're telling me to do. And I believe God's going to guide you and lead you to be, like the shepherds, a fantastic witness, bounding around the city going, I'm so excited. You wouldn't believe what we heard and what happened. And I found it to be true. Lord, just thank you for this time that we could be together. And I pray that you would seal up in our hearts the word that you would bring to us today. Help us to be clear in being witnesses and to be careful not to dive into preaching until your Spirit gives us the release to do that. But I pray you would help us to be rich in witness in our culture, in our world, that we would lead in this contrarian way and see this world saved. Because we know that's your heart, and so we want to come with you in that journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.LadnerLife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.